the role of the church, where she was going to receive help, she had to have lived a godly life. So one of the points that is made here is that when Jesus says, give to everyone who asks you, it cannot mean indiscriminately give to everyone who asks you. There was a time in my life when I took it to mean that, and so for a period of months or years, I gave money to every beggar who asked, and even knowing that they were going to misuse those funds and perhaps use them to buy drugs or alcohol, my thinking was, well, Jesus said, give to everyone who asks, and so just do it. And so let me say that even though, because of reasons that I'm about to tell you, I changed my policy on that, and I almost never give to beggars now. Even though I changed my policy on that, I have to say, I never missed a meal because I was too generous. I never went without clothing or without shelter because I was too generous. I'm reminded of a little poem that John Bunyan wrote that says, there once was a man, though some did count him mad, the more he gave away, the more he had. Here it is again, so you can memorize it. There once was a man, though some did count him mad, the more he gave away, the more he had. Here's the way it's put in the book of Proverbs. In the King James Version, it says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Liberal there doesn't mean you belong to a particular political persuasion. Liberal means generous. And fat there doesn't mean you're going to gain a lot of weight. It means that you're going to have more than you need. The generous person will have more than he needs. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall himself be watered, the second part of the verse says. I give my testimony that it is true. Jesus said, to him who gives, more shall be given, and he will have more. You know, I've told you before that I grow a few flowers, and I sometimes fertilize them. And sometimes there are flowers that really bloom a lot, and there are other flowers that look like they're not blooming very much. You know which one I give the most fertilizer to? The one that shows she knows what to do with it. I water those flowering flowers. And I talk mean to the ones that aren't. And, but, you know, when you show that you are able to use the resources that God has entrusted to you in the way that God intends them to be entrusted, you are in a position to receive more. You've shown that you know what to do with it. And we start with the inner circle. You have a ring of responsibility to take care of your family, and then you have a ring of responsibility to take care of people in the church, but not everybody gets the same degree of attention. So what corrected me from my indiscriminately giving to everyone who asked from me was contemplating what happens in John chapter 6. And what happens in John chapter 6 is that Jesus feeds the 5,000. And then the Bible says the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there. And so they got into boats and they went across the lake and they found Jesus. And Jesus says to them, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And then he says this, do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. He does not feed them again. They came to him and they were asking him, feed us again. Give us another free meal. And he said, I'm not going to do it. It's going to harm you. It's going to be a distraction for you. All you can think about is getting another fish sandwich. And you need to think about something more important. The bread of life that came down from heaven. I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. And then At the end, it says, from this time, many who had followed him turned back and followed him no longer. There are always people who are going to attach themselves to religious organizations for the sake of the free fish sandwiches, for what they can get. And it's not just poor people who are stopping by asking for money to put gas in their tank. Sometimes it's politicians who want to get a vote. Sometimes it's business people who want to network. But there have always been people who will attach themselves to churches or to religious organizations for the sake of enriching their own pockets or just getting another fish sandwich. But as I thought about that, I thought, well, Jesus did not give to everyone who asked. He knew it wasn't good for them, and so he withheld. The Bible says, if a man does not work, he should not eat. Now, our government doesn't abide by that, and the welfare state has done incalculable damage to our country. Indescribable damage to poor white people and to poor black people. It's just unbelievable to compare the statistics of how many children were born to families where there was a mom and dad in the home prior to the advent of the welfare state in the 1960s, and then what the statistics are today. And part of it is this problem of indiscriminate giving. Now, there are people who will listen to this on the internet, and there are people in our congregation who, for one reason or another, no longer have to work. You may have received a disability check. You may receive some other kind of check. You need to do something. Even if you don't have to work for the money, you need to do something. Find some way that you can help. Find some older person that you can visit. Find some ministry that you can do. Don't just sit around all day watching reruns of Bonanza. Stir yourself up. A man who does not work ought not to eat. That's what the Bible says. And though it may be hard for us to enforce that rule, it is the teaching of the Holy Spirit. So we have rings of responsibility. Now, one of the problems that we have in giving to the poor, some of you I know have thought already, if I knew someone who was really in need, I would help them. And I admit, I've already said it, we know very few people who are in danger of starving if they don't get food, or in danger of freezing if they don't have shelter. There are so many ways that people can get help. And before I say, but here's what we can do, let me continue to acknowledge the damage that is done by indiscriminate giving. I was talking to a friend of mine last night on the phone in view of using the following illustration. I remember him his telling me this several years ago, and I called him up and just confirmed that it was so. He had been a missionary. He was a missionary in Thailand for 25 or 30 years. And there are organizations that will solicit support money from Americans to support a child in Thailand. I myself have participated in some of these organizations in years gone by, and maybe you are too, and if you are, I thank you that, I express my appreciation and approval that you're trying to do something to give to the poor. But here is what my friend from Thailand said. Thailand is about the size of Texas. In Thailand, there are 75 provinces. Think of them as counties. He lived in Chiang Mai province. He said, in Chiang Mai province alone, there were over 600 children's homes. 600 children's homes in one county, in one province of Thailand. And he said that he had served on the board of directors for some of these organizations. And what he had what he came to discover was that virtually none of them are orphans. They're all children who have been taken from, see my air quotes, at-risk families. So if there was a single parent home, or if there was a home that was in poverty, then these people who ran the children's homes would come and say, we can take your child. He can come and live at our, an American will pay for his room and board. And so these poor Thai people were saying, sure, take our children. And so by the thousands and by the tens of thousands, the children of Thailand are being removed from their homes in the name of charity, probably most of it Christian charity, and the family unit in Thailand is being destroyed by indiscriminate giving. One of the reasons that African countries remain in such perpetual foment is because of how much aid America sends to those countries. And then there's always a fight for who is going to be the dictator of that country, because he gets that money and does with it whatever he wants. Billions upon billions of dollars have been funneled into Haiti, and Haiti remains the poorest country in the world because it's indiscriminately given. Now, here's the danger, that after hearing all of this, we say, well, I'm not going to give then, if it's just going to cause trouble everywhere. Now, here's what I need to say. Here's what you need to hear. Not everybody's a crook and not everybody's a shyster. We have opportunities locally that are run by people who are not getting rich off of it, who help the poor. There is a homeless shelter in Mount Washington. There is a crisis pregnancy center in Mount Washington. James chapter 1 and verse 27 says, this is religion that is pure and undefiled in the sight of God, to help religion, to help widows and orphans in their distress. And you say, well, I don't know any orphans. There are lots and lots of little babies who are effectively orphans. Their daddy has abandoned them, and their mama is going to kill them if someone doesn't intervene and say, we will help you and we will take care of your baby. We'll take care of your pregnancy. Thank God for those of you in this congregation who have adopted children. Some of the children that are in your home are children who effectively were orphans and were in danger. And if you had not stepped in and taken the role that you have taken, then those children would have perhaps not be here today. It's a horrible thought to think. So there are local ministries that you can help. There are international ministries with which we have personal acquaintance. We just had a mission team return from Ethiopia and the Five Loaves Ministry. Scott and Ruth Ann Schaus, are you the president of Five Loaves?
I'm the board of directors.
The president of the board of directors? He's not getting rich off this. You know, he's volunteering. Nobody's getting money off of this, except there are hungry children who are being fed and who are being provided for. We just had a mission trip return from the Village of Hope. You talk about being able to help orphans and helpless women who are effectively widows. You know, the young girls have gotten pregnant, living on the streets. Village of Hope takes them in, gives them a place to live. What a great investment when you give to the needy, to give to some of these reputable organizations that we know about. And so you and I need to be involved in poverty relief efforts, poverty relief ministries, because Jesus says, when you give to the poor. Now, it's true that you have these rings of responsibility, but what you don't have is no responsibility. When you give to the poor, make sure that you do not do it this way. Don't sound a trumpet like the hypocrites do when they give in the synagogues. Don't sound a trumpet. Now, I've read commentaries where they say this was because when some rich people were about to give to the poor, they would blow a trumpet, and it was ostensibly for the case of bringing in the poor people. We're about to give away something, so y'all come and get it. Or it could be that some poor people had a little trumpet, that when a rich person gave them something, they would blow the trumpet to draw attention to the person. Whether it was literal or whether it's just metaphorical, the gist of it is, don't show off when you do it. Don't show off. And boy, is this ever an age where showing off is okay, where showing off is appropriate. And the problem is, when you show off, you get a reward, but it's the only reward that you'll get. Let me say more about that in just a minute. So when you give, don't show off. How are you supposed to give? Jesus said, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, what does that mean? I think it means not only you're not to show off in front of other people, you're not to dwell on it yourself and congratulate yourself on what a generous person you are and how much better the world is because you're in it. Just don't dwell on it. If the Lord leads you to give, give, thank God. And go on. But don't read your own press clippings. Don't post about it on Facebook or some other social media platform. If you do it so that you can show off and be admired, then Jesus says that's all the reward that you're going to get. Now, last week I talked a little bit about the reward that is mentioned. And Jesus says, if you do it to show off in front of people, then you have no reward from your heavenly Father. But if you do it in secret, then your Father who sees in secret is going to reward you. And I said last week that one of the rewards of giving to the poor, some of the rewards would be that you make friends with the poor, that you have the delight of being concerned about poor people in the way that God is. You have fellowship with God. You know that you're being used by God. It improves your character. That's a great reward. Another side of that is if you give just to show off, then you have something temporary. You'll have the approval of people, but that's all you're going to get. And you may get a lot worse. Many of you know that suicide rates among teenage girls has risen precipitously in the last 12 years. I mean, the statistics before 2012 compared with 2024 of suicide rates among especially young girls has just exponentially increased. You know what's happened since 2012? Social media has become the way that many young people live their lives. And the goal of social media, well, one of the goals of social media is to just show to everybody how great your life is. And apparently there are a lot of young people who say, my life looks terrible in comparison to this. My life is not even worth living in comparison to this. And so the young person commits suicide. My life is not worth living. That is a decision that has come from thinking that my life is made valuable by the way people recognize me and approve me. And Jesus tells you, that's not worth living for. It is a good thing to desire the approval of good people. That there's good peer pressure. It is a good thing to let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. But it is a bad thing to do your religious acts before men to be seen by them. And this is a time when self-promotion has become increasingly acceptable. We have just got to refuse to do it. Now, in addition to the rewards that come from being a good person and doing the right thing, there's something else. There's another kind of reward, and that's the reward that God is going to give you in eternity. So we are saved, brought out of darkness into light, entirely because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. But once we are saved, then we have the privilege of cooperating with God in the works that He is doing, one of which is alleviating the misery of the poor. And He says, I'm going to reward you for that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, and we'll conclude this morning with the reading of one of the most powerful statements in the Bible of how God is going to reward people, His children. He's going to reward His children who give to the needy. Now, giving to the needy, as you'll see in this passage of Scripture, is not all about money. You might say, I'd give if I had some money. What do you have? You have a time? You have a talent? You're able to teach someone tennis lessons for free? You know, what is it that you can do? Can you help someone fix their car? Can you change the oil? Are you able to clean someone's house? Are you able to go to the nursing home and say, Could you please tell me who here never gets a visit? I want to start visiting them. It's not all about money, as you will see here. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now today is the day when we observe the Lord's Supper, and among the many other things that we can be thankful for as we take the Lord's Supper, we can be thankful that we were hungry and Jesus came to us.